Good evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, June 3rd. We made it to June already there, Joe. Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th hole Clubhouse Studios, and proudly supported by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, Michelob Ultra, and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. And check us out on Spotify on the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I'm Christian Champ Sharp, part of your Clubhouse crew tonight, joined shortly by my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharp's there. As we celebrate, Joe, have a drink on the Clubhouse crew tonight for the 21st episode, a big 2-1. We begin into that adult stage, have a little bit more freedom, a little bit more responsibility here on the podcast. Looking forward to it. Still have Mr. Joe Geiger on the controls, always appreciated down here at Berks tonight. Action-packed show ahead as we look back at handshakes and milkshakes. Really like that from the CBS crew. I think that was a Trevor Immelman shout out there for the Memorial Tournament, for the serial killer, also known as Scotty Scheffler, obviously doing his thing like he normally does. I think they should call it Scotty's Place instead of Jack's Place. We'll have to talk about Sammy on that one. Given our patio preview, north of the border, going up there for some Canadian action for the RBC Canadian Open this week. Brand new course at TPC Toronto. Have to get the patio preview there from Sam to give us all the tidbits there. And then at 7:30, we're going bottom of the hour here with Bob Bauer. Obviously, we got a big horse race, the final of the Triple Crown coming up this Saturday from his favorite track at Saratoga for the 157th running of the Belmont Stakes there. So we got a good mixture there. We'll even mix in a little NBA and NHL. Obviously, we got the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals on Wednesday and Thursday as well. Looking forward to it. We'll cover all that and more. Take you to the 8 o'clock hour. Miss any of this, check us out tomorrow on Spotify as we do there. And while I get Sammy on the Clubhouse line here, and we call him from our Clubhouse phone there, head on over to thebetterclubhouse.com. You heard it right. Thebetterclubhouse.com. www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletters there. You get access to at least three of them weekly. Next week, major. It's going to be happening all week as well. Make sure you get in there and subscribe and do all that good stuff to get the notifications. We're going to hit you with the patio preview like we do each and every Monday morning with your cup of coffee and early models. Give you a little insight into course. Not only to TPC Toronto this week, but Oakmont next week for the U.S. Open. There, Tuesday player deep dives. We got over 15 on tap. You can't wait to see Sammy's hot take on Rory McIlroy and the Swede Ludvig Åberg this week as well, including then also in that deep dive, you're going to get some form, some insights, and also, most importantly, our projections that we have for that player for that week. And then also tomorrow, final bets, models, one-and-done selections, final picks, and all that good stuff in our Wednesday, all of that. Looking forward to it. Also tomorrow, you can look out for an early U.S. Open model as well, going to Oakmont next week for that major championship. Number three, unfortunately. We're already halfway done as we get into June. And as always, we welcome all our patrons to hit us up on all the socials, Instagram, X, and TikTok as well. Hit us up there. Tell us what you like, what you don't, and always throw a comment in there as well. Speaking of my brother from another mother, let's throw Sammy. Come on into the Clubhouse tonight. How are we doing on this first Tuesday of June there, Sammy?
Champ, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on, as always. I'm looking to put May behind me, and I'm looking to start June here off on the right foot with a couple winners this week north of the border.
Yeah, I mean, I think, hopefully you stay on that run. Let's not forget about that May run of one-and-done winners right there. Obviously at the Truist with Sugar Shane, last Bryson taking down that second place at the PGA Championship. And you, my man, had Scotty Scheffler to win the Memorial. And that's a hefty check there. Now I'm really behind the eight ball. I think I'm almost $5 million down to you now. I'm just a scrub on the streets here picking Sepp Straka to finish third there. So shout out to that pick there. Great pick as always. Really looking forward to your one and done picks a little bit later. But yeah, let's talk about the serial killer himself. As I mentioned, I'm really glad this guy is harnessing his powers for good. But I mean, mentioned it last week. Toughest course probably outside of the majors that these guys are going to face. That rough was gnarly. But this guy had no issues, made what, one bogey on the weekend there. What are your thoughts on his third win in four starts, none other than Mr. Scotty Scheffler there?
So, what does there say? I mean, he just played really well. He, according to the stats I looked at, he was basically a zero in putting, and he still gained pretty much 15 strokes to the field total. He played remarkably well. He gained more than about three strokes or more to the field total in three of the four rounds. And you said last week in the opening, I listened back to the episodes right before we do these shows to try to listen when it comes out, just to see how it sounds. And then again, right before our episodes, kind of get in the mood and try to build off what we did last week. And you said right at the beginning, you referenced your time at Muirfield, and you said it was a more like a tea and crumpets type of crowd, if you will. And it was more, it wasn't what you were expecting in that sense. And it was the polar opposite of a place like TPC Scottsdale at the Waste Management, more boring vibe, but that it offered more challenges, probably as much challenge as you could get on a course outside of the majors. And lo and behold, there goes Scotty winning the tournament. The best player in the world right now, so much so that he makes all this tournaments boring. Like, he just finds fairways and finds greens and hits the putts that he needs to hit. Like, he doesn't get into trouble very much, and when he does, his shots, his recovery shots are just unbelievable. So
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it was funny because I was watching a lot on the weekend there, and just kind of looking at it, and I'm like, why are we even have a shot tracer on this guy? We already know where the ball is going to end up, and Lids literally finds the fairway every single time. And even when he wasn't making birdies on Saturday, he was just making easy pars. And then what does he do? Goes, what, 3 under in his last five holes to take that 3-shot lead into Sunday there. Obviously, shout out to Ben Griffin. I mean, a guy's running on a great roll there, great yep. run of form. Love that putt on 16 there to be like, oh, are we gonna have a game here or not? And even Jack was like, yeah, this, he got back into the tournament, but he's not, there's no way of chance for Scotty to lose this. Obviously, Scotty hitting that majestic 7-wood. I didn't even know he had a 7-wood from what, 250. Hits it, almost holes it for Albatross there on 15, right by the flag. Misses the putt, as you mentioned there, just being even. But yeah, shout out to Ben Griffin there. Loved that. That course, and I can see where Rory McIlroy is not playing it maybe this year. We'll see if he plays it again. That is a that you have to be in the fairway. As Michael Kim said yep. on X there, that is a more accuracy type course. If you're in the rough, you either have to hit a wedge out, and there's no chance to do anything outside of that, especially on those firm greens like that. Got to hit the fairways. Jordan Spieth did a great job of that for 54 holes. Sunday, nowhere close to that. So we'll see what's happening there. Also, a shout out to BDN. We got we'll try to keep it a little bit not explicit there. Hit us up on the instance there. But really, Nick Foles' nickname, if you know that from the Philadelphia Eagles there. We're talking about Nick Taylor there, hanging tough, playing well. I was worried about a matchup bet I had on Saturday with him there. Couldn't make a putt. What does he do? Ends up holing out on, I believe it was the 14th there. Great showing by him. Also, shout out to you there, Sammy, as well. Russ Henley, great showing. Maverick McNealy, great showing as well. I know those guys were in your player pool as well.
Yeah.
True tee to green. Yeah, Sepp right there. Obviously played that great round on Saturday to throw his hat in the ring there. And then on Sunday, right there as well. Just he just had a little short. Didn't play well early on, but, I mean, we'll see what happens there. A name that I'm curious about, and I think this really is a good segue as we look into the RBC Canadian Open. What do you make of Ludvig Åberg, the big Swede's great 66 on Sunday? And do you think that kind of translates it into him? I know you were on him early on yep. in the week, hoping, and then we finally see a little glimpse on there on Sunday. What are your thoughts as you followed his round, not only early on, but also saw that great finish on Sunday as well?
So, yeah, I was on Swede at Quail as a first-round leader, and then last week in both the outright and first-round leader market. I'm trying to be early on him when the price is good, and when I say price is good, I mean 25-1 or better given his talent. I think it's coming. I think he's too good to be bad for a full season. Like, maybe we get to some of these down events, like maybe he plays at TPC Twin Cities or something like that, where he's more of towards the top of the board, maybe without Scotty or Rory. Market doesn't want to go to him. In that situation, I think I may bet him, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on Åberg. It's good to see his form getting a little bit better. this week, if we're segueing into Canadian Open, I don't love the number this week. I love where his game may be turning to after an awesome round four where he gained pretty much six strokes tee to green. But I want to see more consistency before I'm betting him sub 20-1.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody should hold on there before you bet anything. Obviously, we should walk out onto that patio. This week's probably supported by Body Armor and Coca-Cola there, Sammy. And why don't you give the patrons, as we go north of the border there, and head out there into O Canada land there and try to figure out TPC Toronto and let everybody on all the patrons in on your patio preview this week.
Yeah, so the patio preview is a little short and sweet this week because we're at TPC, quote-unquote, Toronto, even though this course is not within the city limits of Toronto. In fact, it's about an hour outside of Toronto, which has been brought to the attention of us via multiple podcasters in this realm that live in the area. So that's an interesting little tidbit there. But it seems to be something that the PGA likes to do with these TPC courses because I think I remember TPC Boston being similar. But so this is the first event that this course is hosting. It's the 38th course to host the Canadian Open, which is a 121-year history as a tournament, and it's the eighth since 1977. It's a par 70, about 7,400 yards. It plays as a par 72 for the public and the par 70 for championship events. Holes 8 and 13 are changed from par 3s to par 4s. And that shows on the card because those holes are over 500 yards. There's a few over 500-yard par 4s this week. It's a parkland-style layout with narrow-ish fairways per the patio preview. But honestly, as I've done more research and seen more flyovers, there are some good landing spots on these fairways. And the trees aren't claustrophobic. I mean, if you're missing fairways by a decent margin, you're going to get in some trouble with some fescues. But and the rough is going to be a little long here, around 4 inches. But if you're on those fairways and you've got at least average to above average distance, I think you're at an advantage this week. The greens are pretty average. Bent grass, Poa mix, 6,500 square feet with a little undulation. Rough, again, around 4 inches, Kentucky bluegrass. There's only two par fives. They're about 542 and 580 yards. And the other major thing I want to talk about is the renovations with Ian Andrew with the consultation of the PGA Tour in 2023. They knew they wanted to host these type of events. They made some changes around the course. They lengthened it. They changed some green complexes, repositioned some bunkers to challenge what would be the game's elite playing at the course. Some of the fairways and landing areas were tightened or made more difficult just to make players make an option here, make a decision. Something to note, winter was long in this area and spring has been pretty wet. So I don't expect much runout on these fairways. And there aren't any other PGA events to go off of when talking about this course. But it did play host to the 2024 Fortinet Cup Championship, which was basically the FedEx Championship for the PGA Tour of Americas. It did play as a par 70 for that event. The winning score was minus five. Obviously, this field is going to be much better than the field that was playing at that event. But 12, 15, and 17 were the only holes that played under par in addition to the two par fives. And there were more bogeys than birdies on 12 of the holes. So it should be a challenge this week. I'm not sure if I think it's a long or a short course or a difficult course or an easy course, but I think there's going to be some challenges specifically around the greens, which are elevated out of pretty difficult bunkers for these players here.
Well, if you want to know who Sammy's got lined up after all those great stats and insight into TPC Toronto there, you're going to have to hold on a minute because we love the sponsorship that we get from Ice Pick Vodka. And this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on down. We got a $2 taco night, $3 tacos there. Wash it all down with an Ice Pick Vodka there, celebrating the 21st show of the Better Clubhouse there. Obviously, as we look ahead, we got what? I believe Joe over here said that the Rays are trying to play up at Steinbrenner. We'll see. We got a lot of rain coming in today. Hit or miss there. Definitely a downpour as I was over at my kid's horse lesson there up in Pinellas Park. It downright came in sideways. Reminded me of the Open Championship there, Sammy there. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Plenty of action. I think it's a little bit quieter tonight. Obviously, tomorrow we got NBA Finals right after – or NHL Finals tomorrow, NBA on Thursday there. A little bit quieter action, but come on down. Plenty of TVs, plenty of great food. Check out some of the simulators in here, too. Some of the courses a little bit harder. Might be washed out. Come on down, sign up there, and enjoy our simulators upstairs that we have. Get all of those access there from Full Swing there. Sammy just broke down the patio preview of the Canadian Open this week, and I think he brought up a lot of great work. I think you kind of like have to figure out how you want to attack this course. As he mentioned, it's not like Colonial. It's not like Muirfield Village that we had last week. It's not like Quail Hollow, where we got all this history of data and that we can just spit off a winner or who we think is going to be there. This one took a little bit of research, took a little bit of deep dives, took a little bit of analysis there. And so I ran a couple different models just to try to figure it out. Do we need distance or accuracy? I think Sammy would say probably in that total driving. I think that I like that too, which factors in not only distance but also accuracy as well. I think approach play. Obviously, we got some long par threes coming into here. Obviously, we got some long par fives, so it's not a wedge fest. I do think that mid-round score, 15 under par, is probably what we're looking for there. What's that, about three? I think if you shoot four under par each day, it's not going to be that 5-under number that Sammy mentioned there. I don't expect it to be in the 20s either, like we have seen at some of your like TBC Craig Ranch and that type of birdie fest out there as well. That being said, I think that approach play, 150-plus, I think you're going to need some around the green game. This is a TPC, but it's not a Pete Dye design, is also something to make note there. So a little bit of odds and ends, plenty of models that we throw out there. Biggest thing I'm going to have on here is I want to hear this guy's take, and I want him to throw it out to the patrons. Just listen to the fire that this guy, and you will not want to bet this number on this guy, even though he is playing in this field. It's a four-letter name, not named golf. Why don't you give them everybody's thoughts there, Sammy, on Rory McIlroy that you have that's going for his third Canadian title this week.
Yeah, why don't I just give the patrons a little insight from the deep dives that we're going to publish here tonight. Rory might be the betting favorite at the RBC Canadian Open, but let's be real. The number's riding off reputation and not reality. Yes, he's dominated this event in the past, but that was on a completely different track, multiple completely different tracks with actual course history to lean on. This week, clean slate, brand new venue, and Rory's iron game has been in shambles, losing nearly two strokes on approach and back-to-back solo starts, including at Quail Hollow, where he's basically the unofficial mayor. Since winning the Masters, Rory's been sleepwalking through his swing, and while he's has the talent to flip a switch, recent Sundays have shown that he doesn't have the cold-blooded closer gene like Scotty. I mean, he nearly coughed with Augusta multiple times. And so betting Rory at a near Scotty price with a major looming, I think that's a sucker's play.
Look at that. That deserves an applause there, Joe. Hit the applause on that one. That was straight fire there. Obviously, he's going to have to eat his shirt. Unfortunately, we didn't have to. That's something also, a shout out to us there, Sammy. You picked Justin Thomas, would not win the Memorial. Guess what? He didn't win. Check marks that. And I had Aaron Rye, who finished four spots from DFL there. So shout out to us. We do not think Rory McIlroy is going to be there. Hit us up on www.thebetterclubhouse.com. If you're picking Rory, we'll go up against you this week. But I agree there, Sammy. I mean, obviously the non-conforming driver situation, I don't think it's a big deal there. But another thing to note this week that the patrons have to keep an eye out is next week is the U.S. Open, right? So how many play people are getting their game in form, similar to the Truist that they played up in Philadelphia right before the PGA Championship. So I think we're both off of there. He's not even in my top 10 hot take just because of his approach game from 150 to 175 this season has not been off. I don't know. It's been in shambles. Just, I mean, as your insight says there. So yeah. I'm looking forward to not playing any Rory McIlroy, no exposure, no one and done, none of that this week. We'll have to see if he's on your one and done. Actually, you can't pick him because you took him at the Augusta there. So yep. That next name on the list, is a name that we both mentioned there already. That's Ludvig Åberg. Nice final round there. This was actually his debut professional event, was actually back in 2023 at the Canadian Open. So some good vibes there. Definitely not at the same course. If you want to know those Canadian statistics, who plays well in the Canadian Open there, we'll put that in the newsletter for tomorrow as well there, just in case you want to. I don't think you're going to get much out of it outside of who plays well north of the border there. And then the third list on there, curious your thoughts on this guy, the Big Maple himself, as named from Sammy there. Why don't you give the patrons what your thoughts are on Big CC there, Mr. Corey Connors?
Yeah, so real quick on Rory, last 24 rounds, approach 150 to 200, 126th in the field.
In the field?
Plus, yeah, in the field. Overall, 200 plus, 84th in the field. So not ideal.
And these are not great players in this field, by the way. I mean, I'm not dissing out on the RBC ambassadors, Sam Burns. I know there's a couple other ones out there. That one comes to mind there. Roy McIlroy's in the field. Sugar Shane Lowry's in the field. We got plenty of great names in the field. To be 126th out of what? How many players we got this week? 140, 52?
135-something pros, and then some Canadians that are like – so Canadian amateurs that play their way in that are like – the last 20 or so.
So we'll say 150 just for sakes here. 125 out of 150 people. He's only better than 25 other golfers that are in this field, including some scrubs, from that approach marker that we have as a bucket. Bet him if you want. Not at Scotty prices, but not for us. So that's you've been forewarned on that one there. Sammy, prepare to eat our shirt on that one. This is Rory McIlroy. He does have the Grand Slam there.
Hey, man. That's okay. I don't care if people want to hate. That's fine.
That's it.
I mean, you got to get cute and with some of the takes.
And I think if you want Roy McIlroy, you just throw that right into ChatGPT and he spits out Roy McIlroy for you anyway. So you can just turn it off, go out there and bet. I think last week you probably could have done that with Scottie Scheffler, but I think we had history and a reason to think that, right? Brandon Course, different statistics there. So, Sammy, as we look through there and look at the variability and look for a name with some value, who's a name that's not Roy McIlroy or a Ludvig Åberg there?
So top of the board, I would go with Corey Connors, despite him breaking our heart last week. We both had him in some capacity. You had top Canadian, I had top 10. And it seemed like every time he did something well, whether it was like a birdie or a par save or something, he went out with a bogey run or a double bogey afterwards, and he never really got some ground. He lost strokes on approach on the weekend. He lost nearly 5 strokes on approach in rounds 3 and 4 last week, and lost on the event for the first time for a few weeks. Or maybe I'm confusing that with somebody else here. But he was in great form going into Memorial, and it was a buy sign for both of us. And, he had gained on approach before Memorial in 8 straight events, dating back to the Genesis. So, we have one of the course comps for this event being TPC San Antonio. It's a loose comp, mostly because of the way the greens are elevated and the way the bunkers around the greens sit below the greens. Corey Connors has won that event twice, and for somebody that's struggled around the greens historically like he has, he gained around the greens in the last 3 times he's played at TPC San Antonio. So if he just, it's golf. Sometimes you're going to have a bad weekend. Sometimes you're going to have a bad round. He hasn't really fared well at the Canadian Open, his nation's event. But I think Corey Connors has shown us enough throughout the year across the board that he can bounce back from, a bad few rounds and play pretty well at a place that kind of is similar to other places that he's played pretty well. I would want a 20-1 if I'm betting Corey Connors outright. But, placement bets, one and done. DFS, I think he's going to be looked over because he's the most expensive Canadian right behind Rory. So I think you'll get good ownership on him in DFS. I think there are multiple ways to play Corey Connors this week, even if you don't want to bet him outright.
Yeah, I think to piggyback on that, guy at similar odds, I'm seeing him at like 25-1. Defending champion doesn't mean much outside of he has one in Canada there. That'd be Mr. Bobby Mack, return of the Mack there for Bobby Robert McIntyre. Only time he's ever played the Canadian Open, he won it last year with his father on the bag. We all remember that story. If you haven't, go back and check the archives there. But I also like his comps. He's got three top tens on comp courses here. Top 25 in the field, and tee to green, off the tee, approach, greens and reg, approach from that 150, 175 marker as well. Birdies are better, average, and par four scoring. On a par 70 this week, only two par fives to take advantage of. So really like Robert McIntyre there on my side. And, yeah, I mean, I think on –
I really think this week what it comes down to is what you think the course is going to play like, and then what you think betting on a guy that you think fits the mold of the type of player that's going to play well there. And, you know, I'm going to be looking for guys that are probably at least 20 to 1 or more. If I bet someone like Connors, I'm going to win probably a couple 50s or more on my card. But I think it's more of a week to maybe bet on players' floors with placements rather than ceilings with outrights. What do you think about that?
No, I love that. I think that's a great way, especially before a major, a lot of variables this week. So, Sammy, after throwing all that in there, everybody wants to know before we get Bob Bauer on the line here, who's the one-and-done selection? If you don't know about one-and-done, as Sammy goes through his list there, basically pick anybody in the field that you want, no odds or anything like that, but you can't pick the same player twice, right? So he's already picked Scottie Scheffler. He's already picked Rory McIlroy, who won at Augusta, and he's already picked, he's already picked Shane Lowry, another popular name in the field this week. So based on that, Sammy, who are we going with? You're up by over $5 million. You could pretty much pick any scrub there. I do have you in weeks one, though, 6-5. Might lose that this week. I need to tighten up here. Who's your pick one and done this week?
I'm going to go with just, I think I have some wiggle room here, so I'm going to go with a name that's second in my show model this week, behind Shane Lowry, who grades out really well on paper. Let's go off the wall with Ricky Castillo.
Oh, look at that. If you don't know about Ricky Castillo, then you can grade him in our deep dives. We'll make sure to grab him there. Great guy. I think an up-and-comer there. Really looking forward to him. You already said the name I'm going to pick. I got to do some mental gymnastics here against you there, Sammy. Got to go sugar Shane Lowry this week.
Oh.
I know that he really let you down last week on that Sunday round there. I think I think we'll see if that putter finally heats up for him. I think these fairways are a little bit more generous for him. He's also had a really great run of form at in Canada there and on comp courses. So I'm really looking forward to that. Includes a second at the RBC Canadian Open and two, I count them, four top 20s on comp courses there as well. Hopefully to finish up on that second place finish at Truist with a win. So I'm going to go with Shane Lowry. Check out that in the other deep dives. Sammy, we'll see if I can get you back on here to talk a little NBA and NHL before we end the show after Bob Bauer. How's that sound?
Perfect. Talk to you then.
Sounds good, buddy. And that was Sammy for the patio preview this week as we wait for Mr. Bob Bauer to call in. Yeah, I mean, that right there, this week is the variable of all variables. Don't go out and spend your old bankroll. Like our bankrolls went mayday, mayday there, looking back of all the guys we tried to bet last week and the week before, unfortunately, there. But really looking forward to this week. A lot of variables. Take somebody down the road. Take somebody down the thing there. A couple names that come to my mind there is like Kurt Kitayama. He's got a second and a fifth. He is a top 75 across the board except putting. Really looking forward to see what he can do this week. Another name is Nicholas Norgaard. Really like him. He's gained on off the tee in four straight, approach in two out of four, putting two out of four. Miscut at the on the number at last time out, but then a fifth and a 33rd right before that. And he's got a 33rd and a 34th here. That's 80 to 1 out there. I really also like this guy. I'm glad I'm not on the line because Sammy would try to talk me out of him there. Mr. Alex Smalley, this is a big number at 80 to 1 for somebody that's top 75 in the field rank across. And top 25, listen to these, top 25 in this field, tee to green, off the tee, total driving, greens and reg, ball striking, around the green, scrambling, putting, birdies are better, birdies, bogey avoidance, and par four scoring. Like, what does this guy not do well? He's hitting it off the tee well. Approach is gained in three out of four, around three in the four. We just need that putter to warm up. And I think on these bent POA greens, here's a little tidbit. Best players in this field on bent POA greens. Max Homa, number one. He just played in, like, the longest day in golf, right there for the U.S. Open qualifier. Number two is Rory McIlroy. Don't like that number, obviously. See, Tagala withdrew. Mac Hughes, which is an interesting name. If you're looking for top Canadian this week, it is not Corey Connors like I bet last week. That would have been Nick Taylor. Great showing there. He was actually in my top 10. Should have probably bet him there. Didn't. Did have Scotty there, so we get another win there. But looking at Taylor Pendrith is, I think, the name to probably that you want to bet this week if you're looking forward to having a Canadian there. But I know this guy's not from Canada. This guy does love this up north, though, and he loves this track that these guys are going to be going fifth for the 157th running of the BMX Stakes. I want to give a shout-out to this guy who's on the line now. At the Barn, part of our clubhouse crew, which is proudly sponsored this week by the Chichi Rodriguez Golf Academy and also Coca-Cola. That's Mr. Bob Bauer. Anybody's got better picks than this guy in horse races? I'm pretty sad that this is the final leg of the Triple Crown races there, but always having to grade him to have him into the clubhouse. How are we doing on this first Tuesday of June there, Bob?
We're doing great, and the other way of looking at it, my friend, is it's the opening of Saratoga.
Ah, look at that. This guy, love that.
Yeah.
How are you liking this rain? Do you think the horses would do good down here in St. Pete, dealing with this this mud track down here, being a little muddy?
Well, there is one runner in the Belmont who is quite a long shot, who is an out-and-out mudlark.
A mudlark. We like that name. That's a good one.
Well, yeah, it's a good description of a horse that only wins on a track. And that's number five, Pluto.
Yeah, before we get into that, obviously we only got eight horses. So that's one thing that I wanted to ask you there, Bob, is obviously when people first tuned in to Kentucky Derby, they were all excited for a horse race, throwing a party, got these fancy hats on. We got 20 horses. How the heck can we pick that? Now we're down all the way to eight. How do we get all the way down here? I know you mentioned a little bit of the war of attrition in these horses there, but just your thoughts on the field there.
The Triple Crown is almost like a triathlon, you know, so this is the last event of the triathlon in there. You know, there's not as many willing competitors at this leg, you know. And that's why, you know, fitness, you know, horses are athletes. And I take into account, especially because with three-year-olds, they're like the equivalent of teenage kids. They, you know, improve markedly in short periods of time. But they're also vulnerable to what they call bouncing. You know, they get a little weary from too much competition, and that's what I think is facing journalism. You know, he's a heck of a horse. His win in the Preakness was a run for the ages, but that was a, you know, stalwart effort, and that took a lot out of him. He's had four tough races in a row since coming off a layoff in March.
And speaking of journalism, that's the favorite right now, right? I'm seeing 8-5 odds there.
Yeah.
Obviously, another winner there in Sovereignty in the two-hole. Do we need to be worried about that placement there with only eight horses there being on the outside or in? Is that really a factor that we need
really
to factor in this week?
It's good to save ground on the inside on any track, you know, going around ground around two turns. So that will definitely help number one on Hill Road is a closer too from Chad Brown. He won the Peter Pan, and he's got Irad Ortiz riding him, and he could get a good trip on the rail if the other contenders are on the outside. A lot of it is the trip. It's a rider's race too.
So knowing the jockey there is what you're saying is a very key important there as far as the ride.
Irad Ortiz has been leading jockey at Saratoga probably, I don't know if that much. I'd say like maybe five times out of the last 10 years or something like that. You know, he's always one of the top ones. He's a Saratoga operator. So I think that horse has a chance to move up. But I think Sovereignty will perform well because he's been rested since the Kentucky Derby. And Vilmont's a very purposeful trainer, and I think he's going to be ready to run a big one. And on the same token, number six, Baeza, has been rested since the Kentucky Derby, too. And he's been right there, you know, right with Journalism and Sovereignty. And he's been rested up. And Flavian Pratt elected to ride him and instead of the one horse, Hill Road, who he rode that one to victory, like I said, in the Peter Pan Stakes. So that's the way I look at it. I think your two fresh horses that did well in the Derby and skipped the Preakness are going to come back strong.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when you only have a short field, obviously looking for those. How do you play that when you're looking? So you got the horses marked here, and obviously a smaller field. So playing those exactas or those superfectas, obviously a smaller field. How does that kind of go into your strategy of how to kind of grab out some profit with a shorter field? What's the best way to attack it? Just doing with that win with Sovereignty at 2-1, or are you trying to find that exact? I mean, with the long horse
what are your thoughts here? I like to get a little, you know, leverage for my money. Like I might take, for example, let's say you love Sovereignty. Take some other horse that you, the other contender. Let's say, like I said, Bays. The you got the two horse in the six horse. Play exact the 2-6, 2-6 and all. Then if a real long shot clumps up in the third, you could get a pretty decent trifecta.
Maybe put that Hill Road, like you were saying, from that one hole there. A good closer there, right, at 10-1. So not only do you have a 2-1 and a 4-1 there in Beza, and then you have a Hill Road at 10-1 to really throw in some value on the back end there, right?
Yeah, and the Mudlark I wanted to mention before is number 4 on Paged from Todd Bletcher's barn, who's one of the best in the business year in and year out. And he is 2-for-2 on muddy tracks, and he's the only one who's won a race at Saratoga. He broke his maiden condition last season at Saratoga. So you say horses for courses, and he's 30-1 on the morning line. That's the kind of horse you don't, you know, get your lungs out on him, but you might want to use him with some of the top contenders, and if he clunks up with them, that's a heck of a mutual that'll come.
And as you mentioned there, the trainer, Todd Pletcher there, has already got 5 Belmont winners, and then you also look at that jockey there with a 2-time champion, Luis Saez, right, as well. So you're trying
Luis
to get
Saez
that.
He's a great jockey.
Yeah, you love that full-around pedigree there. So you mentioned Mudder. Are you expecting, I know down here in St. Pete we're expecting some weather up there. Are they expecting it up there in New York as well?
I did look at the long-range weather forecast, and they showed rain pretty much on Friday and like partly cloudy for Saturday. So if it rains very hard, the track could be off and be muddy on Saturday.
So I know you mentioned Saratoga there. What's so like fascinating or very – what's the history behind the Saratoga racetrack? I think if you're maybe new to racing like I am, I kind of know the name, but I don't really know much history about it. What's one like good nugget that people know about?
It's one of the oldest racetracks in the country, that in Churchill Downs. I don't know which is older. And its marquee race, the Travers, is the oldest graded stakes in the country, I believe. Anyway, the track opened around the time of the Civil War in the 1860s, and they've always had a race meet there. And Saratoga is kind of a tourist city because it's 150 miles north of New York City, up in the countryside where it's a lot cooler and more peaceful and everything. And that's what so all the New Yorkers used to come up there on vacation and go to the races and all that, and the real wealthy people used to winter in Palm Beach and go to Newport in the spring, and then in August when Saratoga opened, they picked up and went to Saratoga.
I was just reading a little bit of Saratoga.
It's a beautiful city too. It's a beautiful track, and also they have some of the highest purses in racing, so that attracts the best outfits, the best owners, the best trainers, best jockeys.
I mean, it's got a pretty good nickname there, too, the Graveyard of Champions there, with famous horses who have lost at this track. So if you're trying to bet the favorite, right?
It's so competitive.
So, I mean, you know, if you're trying to bet that journalism this week, there's actually a track in the 1973 that Secretariat actually lost on this race, but defeated by Onion there. Man of War is lost. American Faro, too, right? Back in back in as the 1-5 favorite. So that's even like minus 200 for the money line there for a digital. So it this might be the reason not to pick a journalism and take that long shot either with Hill Road, like you say, as well, right?
I'm not saying – see, he's not a great – there's no doubt that he's a great horse and he has the credentials. But it's just that, you know, he's had some hard bouts, you know, along the way. Now maybe he's not quite as sharp as he was 3 or 4 months ago, but he's –
Yeah, I mean, Bob, that's like me trying to say Scottie Scheffler is not going to win a golf tournament, but believe it or not, he might win the golf tournament, right? We try to find ways to not bash the player or the horse, but try to find ways that of value out there to try to attract and that sort of thing too, right?
You know what I tell folks I when I equate golf to horse racing? I tell them, like, you know, sometimes horse racing, as far as the favorite, it's a popularity contest. What horse is most famous? And I go on and tell people, I go, if it was a golf tournament, everybody wants to bet on Tiger Woods. But let's face it, Tiger Woods is an older guy now, and he's not as...
Yeah, even if he teed it up, he'd still be one of the top five handles, meaning the amount of money people would bet, even though he probably wouldn't win.
He's not what he was 25 years ago.
Exactly.
And he's playing against young, strong guys now. Yep. So that's the only thing. But a lot of people would send a lot of money in on Tiger Woods because that's his name, and that's what happens in horse racing.
No, I love that, Bob. So what are some things that you're taking into account? What kind of statistics and that kind of thing? Obviously, the track. What do you take into account? Obviously, if it's not the popularity, what behind the scenes are you looking at to try to figure out why a horse like Somber T would win?
Well, first of all, I look at speed figures. I look at who's faster than who. And I also am kind of a pace handicapper because there's an old saying, pace makes the race. And I look at how the race is going to set up, because if a speed horse, I mean one that gets out in front of the pack right out of the gate, if he hasn't any pressure, a speed horse can go all the way around, wire to wire. Unchecked speed is one of the most dangerous things in horse racing. By the same token, though, if that horse goes out on the lead and he's got one or two other competitor breathing down his neck all the way, he'll tire, you know, just like in a foot race, you know, and then that helps it for a closer. So you have to look at that, like, and that's what's going to happen. I think right here in the Belmont, you got the two big speed is number three Rodriguez from Bob Baffert's barn. He's nothing but a, you know, scooting and booting right out of the gate, and Mike Smith is riding him. He rode him to victory in the Wood Memorial. He's riding him back today. Mike Smith is one of the greatest. You know, Mike Smith is probably pushing 60, and he's in better shape than most guys 25. You know, he is. You know, jockeys are. I mean, you know, jockeys are pound for pound. They're well built athletes. So anyway, the other speed horse is number five, Crudo, with Johnny Velasquez riding him. And he's won two races in a row, wire to wire.
So is it safe to say there, Bob, that a horse like Hill Road, that's a great closer, if halfway you still see them within a couple, maybe third or fourth place there, that we can really expect Hill Road or somebody like that to really close fast? It just depends on how close they are to their lead there about halfway through?
Yeah, because that's the other thing. Like, Sovereignty is a great closer, and I very much think, you know, he can win this. But sometimes what happens is when the race sets up, let's say you get two speed horses out there beating each other up on the front end, and a horse like Sovereignty is at the tail end of the pack. Well, when those two close, if there's another horse that's third close, he can get what they call first run on the two tiring leaders, and he'll get loose on it with nobody around him, and then he's gone. And then the horse like Sovereignty, who's probably a better horse, I mean, class-wise and everything else, he'll come like a freight train all the way home, but he won't win the race. He'll probably come in a strong second, but that's sometimes that happens. That's the way races set up.
Well, I mean, this guy Bob Baffert, I mean, the guy Bob Bauer here, I mean, he predicted the exacta at Kentucky. He's got the exacta at up there at at the Preakness, right? And so the exact there, are you saying, Bob, can we get you on there? We're saying, is it going to be 2-6 or 6-2 for that exacta this week?
Oh, geez.
That's what happens when you make good picks here, Bob. I gotta shine the sprite light to have you see, and just for the patrons there. And I'm sure they're going to be calling them next week being like, we need more races. We need more races here. So what's your thoughts?
I'm going to give Sovereignty the edge because he's been up at Saratoga since early in middle of May, or May 17th, started working out. And he's working out over the heavier, deeper Saratoga training track, which is like a runner running on the beach stand to toughen up his legs, you know. So anyway, he's working out extra hard. Billy Mott knows what he's doing. So that
you heard it here. Bob Bauer is going for that.
Hear me now, believe me later.
Looking forward to it, obviously. Love that. So Sovereignty there, obviously. Reach out to the Better Clubhouse, www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Reach out, make a comment there if you're going to bet on Sovereignty there, 2-1. I really like that 2-6-1 in the trifecta there. If you want to go the exacta with a little box on 2-6, any order there, we love that. Unfortunately, and as Bob mentioned there, go out there to Inspires and mention that Bob Bauer there put you out there. Bob, always appreciate you coming on, talk a little horse race. We'll have to bring you on next week just to shine a little light to say, hey, horse racing is not just about the Triple Crown races there. I know we got the Breeders' Cup and all sorts of stuff. As always, appreciate you coming on this Tuesday and talk about that Belmont Stakes.
Okay, well, good luck. No false favorites.
Love that. That was Bob Bauer there joining us into the barn there. He likes Sovereignty in that two-hole there. I mean, this guy's just been fire. Unfortunately, we didn't get the big names in that other one there before at the Preakness there, but still paid. I mean, it still paid like a 17-1 there. Bob was on it. He hit the Kentucky Derby there. We were looking for American Promise, just didn't be there, but he had journalism right there in as well. And that's that phone ringing right there would be Sammy just locking in his bet of Sovereignty for Saturday there. But before we get Sammy's how much he put on that Sovereignty there, or if they can even bet up there in the Queen City of Charlotte there, I want to let everybody know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete, and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come down and check us out. Miss anything from this episode or Bob Bauer's picks from for the Belmont Stakes or the names that we like at the RBC Canadian Open there, go on to the www.thebetterclubhouse.com. That's our weekly newsletters. Go ahead and sign up for those. And also check us out on the Tampa Bay podcast, part of Spotify. Be up there tomorrow afternoon as well. Welcome back in, Sammy. I know you saw those hot takes there. Are you looking forward to, or are you going to, what are you thinking about? He just put in a 2-6-1 there for the trifecta, really put his out on the limb there for Sovereignty. How do you like that for the Belmont Stakes on Saturday?
Well, as a Cleveland guy with a 216 area code, I kind of like that set of numbers.
Look at that. Look at that. That's the people say that's scripted. Only thing more scripted might be the NBA draft lottery there that I know you're all about up there. Got that magic wand getting number
obvious.
One pick and such. But, yeah, let's shift gears a little bit. As we take, we only got a couple, about 10 minutes left in the show, but why not we talk a little NBA Finals, NHL. But before we even do that, what are your thoughts on the U.S. Open qualifier? A little bit of golf there just to final up. Obviously, people trying to qualify for the U.S. Open, which starts next week, the Open qualifier. I believe I saw a dentist make the cut to play next week.
Yeah, and a high schooler.
A high schooler. Exactly right. High schooler. Shot 18 under par for 36 holes. So, Joe, you got to get out there, practice for next year there. 18 under for 36 holes is just madness, but some key guys in that playoff yesterday that I saw, obviously the Ohio up there, Max Homa was in there carrying his own bag per se. He also got a new caddy change. He's taken over, I forgot the name off of, I'll come to me in a second here, but then also we have
Thorpe. It's called taking over Thorpe.
Yeah, there you go. So Max Homa, then we have Thorbjorn there going on. with I think that Morikawa's old caddy. So I have to look up Homa's. We had Cameron Young. Remember that name from the past? He actually qualified there. He's actually in this field as well. EVR qualified as well. And I think the only person that missed it out was Eric Cole in that 5-for-1 playoff. But just your thoughts from the longest day. Anything out there? Oh, Sammy, I mean, this thing right here, this will perk up Joe's ears over here on the controls for us. Happy Gilmore 2. We yes. saw that little trailer come out. What are your thoughts as you saw that? I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was going to be pretty bad. But I'm looking forward to this. What are you thinking on Happy Gilmore 2 there?
I am looking forward to it. But I just really hope they don't recycle all the jokes. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, I hope there's some more creativity to it. I mean, Happy Gilmore is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Up there with Billy Madison. So
I mean, I was really looking forward to Will Zalatoris being a caddy. Unfortunately, he wasn't even a caddy. He was a player. Obviously, you get a little cameos from Scottie Scheffler acting weird behind the scenes, not saying any words. That's Scottie Scheffler there. John Daly was in there, which is fun. And obviously, we have to have
I think I saw JT in there, too, taking a selfie.
I mean, we got plenty of guys in there. Max Homa's in there. So it should be all around great. If you haven't checked it out, Netflix put out a nice one there. But, Sammy, I know you did a little bit of deep dives. We talk about deep dives for golfers. But I know you did a little bit of a deep dive for the finals coming up. Why don't you tell the patrons just a little nug that you found out of there?
Yeah, so NHL finals here, Panthers versus Oilers for the second straight year. It went 7 games last year. Florida got out to a 3-0 series lead, won game 7, 2-1 in Florida. There were no goals scored in the third period of that game. So it seems like it's like a pretty feisty affair. Admittedly, I don't follow a ton of hockey during the regular season. But I got to say, with the history of these two franchises and with the run the Panthers are on right now, I think there's some intrigue with the Stanley Cup Finals here. Both teams arguably better than they were last year. Edmonton's got to be playing with a huge chip on their shoulder, right? They haven't won the Stanley Cup in, 30 years. They're playing a team they just lost to last year. They're actually the favorites. When I looked this morning, the series odds and game one, because it is being played in Edmonton the week of the Canadian Open. Again, this is not scripted. It's just the way it goes. you gotta like the little hint from the odds makers there. I mean, the Florida's been running roughshod on the NHL the last few years, 3 straight Stanley Cup appearances. But Edmonton's the favorite. They got past the Kings. They got past the Knights and the Stars. All of them scored more points during the regular season than the Oilers. So being the favorite at home, against a team that they're going to have motivation to start right because they lost the first 3 last year. I think I got to like the Oilers money line and puck line. What do you think about that?
Yeah, unfortunately down here at a place in Florida, you're not going to see plus odds on the Florida Panthers. I promise you that at Seminole Hard Rock. I got minus 110 on both sides, which I don't think is a bad side there. Over under on 5.5 games, obviously heavy juice on the over. I would say actually go to the Conn Smythe, which is obviously the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals there. Connor McDavid leading the way at plus 105. Bob, the goalie there, at plus 260 there. I really like Sam Bennett. If you think the Florida Panthers are going to win at 30-1, he seems to always throw his name in the mix there. And obviously a guy by the name of Brad Marchand up there at 60-1. The Rat himself, see if he's got some Dairy Queen or whatever's going on there. Obviously Connor McDavid, I think you got to take it plus 105 there as well. I tell you what, Sammy, I'm going to do some finagling. I'll have to do, I don't know what I'm going to have to do for this guy. I'm hoping to get my coworker on, the former NHL player up there. Okay. Maybe we can get him on the Better Clubhouse to give a little breakdown there. I know he's going to be upset about his Toronto Blue Jays not making it, but he really expects a great series. Like you mentioned, we're just running it back from last year. The key note to here, there's not much happening in Edmonton outside of the CFL team, the Eskimos, I believe it is.
Yeah.
There's not much happening in Edmonton. So if you're going up there, it's hard to get to. The flights are not easy. The travel back and forth. I think last year Florida went up there and kind of kicked them in the teeth, and then it was kind of there. I'm expecting a different mentality to Edmonton. But the thing that you're going to have to look forward to for this is how does the goalie for Edmonton do? That's really the question. We know what Bob's going to do. We know what Bobrovsky's going to do there. Florida's a great team. The question is going to be the goalie. If he's in locked in, then we're going to have a series. Otherwise, Florida, yeah. This is not a hometown take. This is just Florida is a great team. But really looking forward to having we'll have Chris Norton. We'll try to get him on there, throwing that name out there into the universe. Hopefully he'll be on there with us either next week or definitely in the coming weeks there. Probably not next week. We got the U.S. Open, even though he loves golf. Yeah. We probably won't talk much hockey next week there. But been 2 weeks. Let's have him on in 2 weeks there as well. As,
yeah, should be right before game 6 or 7.
Love that. So, yeah, I don't mind the Edmonton. I think, as they say, the arena definitely be jumping there. You'll hear O Canada anthem loud and proud there as well. Looking forward to it from game one. As Sammy broke down the NHL Stanley Cup Finals there, I did a little deep dive into NBA Finals there. Obviously, we got the OKC Thunder favorite who's just been winning everything this season, it seems like, up against a little surprise there in the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, if you haven't heard there, Sammy, New York Knicks fired their head coach for the best run in 25 years.
Yeah,
curious your hot take on that one. But as we look into game one there, Knicks trying to steal some thunder. Play on words there. Love to do that as the champ does. But
nice.
Looking for game one, obviously we got SGA up against Halliburton there. Trying to see how that match is. I think game one in this, starting on Thursday, will really show these are two teams that haven't really been into the finals there. Like, we're going to see, really, are they ready to play? What's the step up there? I think these post teams like to quickly increase the pace of play. But I do think the half-court sets of Indiana, they really pride themselves on that. A key X factor, and I'm curious your thoughts here, Sammy, is one Miles Turner. I think if he can do from away from the rim, let's see how he can do that. Open up the there, and also obviously defense on SGA there. What are your kind of your thoughts, tidbits, obviously seeing the Pacers run through your Eastern Conference final, not having to play the Cavs there, but also looking at what are your thoughts? I know the Thunder have just been dominating the league. It feels like it's been the class of the NBA this season.
Yeah, it's the best team in the league versus the team of destiny, it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Thunder have been dominant. Pacers have come out of nowhere. It almost kind of feels like FAU in March Madness a few years back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, as somebody who grew up in a small market town and roots for the underdog, these two teams kind of feel like underdogs.
Is anybody going to be watching the NBA Finals? Is that a hot take there, Sammy?
I think only basketball fans are. I don't think there's going to be. I think the casual sports fan is going to watch the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah,
no, that's because of the matchups.
That's a great call. We should try. We just see how many of the ratings. Let's see what Game One of the NHL does against the NBA. I think these are two great teams, two great new faces. I think of Halliburton when he played on the Kings, and then they traded him away, and then you turn in this guy is doing floaters. Obviously, that double double, that closeout game. I did feel a little weird, I'm not going to lie, with Reggie Miller calling a Pacers game. That was kind of odd there. Obviously, the choke of the Knicks there, what Halliburton did in those final minutes. Are you taking – so which teams are you parlaying there, Sammy, to do it right for the patrons there? If you wanted to bet Roy McIlroy, we don't suggest that, obviously. Go back and rewind it. But if you want to put his number on these two finals there, in the NHL, it sounds like you're taking Edmonton. Who are you taking in the NBA there?
What about we do Edmonton to win the cup?
Okay.
Pacers plus 2.5 games in the series.
Love that.
And John Rahm to win Live Virginia.
Hey, Live Virginia. Back shout out to my home state. That's up there in the Northern Virginia there at a Robert Trent Jones there. Not a Bryson track. He's going to try to drive all the greens. I don't really like it there. I do like John Rahm 6-1. Compared to that double digit, two times the odds next week at U.S. Open, but then you got to go against this guy named Scotty and Rory and all these guys there. Really like that 6-1. Sammy, when you plug that into the computer there, what do the odds give you back there?
Let me pull that up.
Yeah, please. While he's doing that, obviously only 2 minutes left on the show. Go on to www.thebetterclubhouse.com to sign up for our newsletters there. We're going to have all these bets, all the breakdowns, and our Wednesday newsletter. We're about to hit submit on all the player deep dives, over 15 this week, and also on tomorrow newsletter as well. You're going to get a U.S. Open preview for the U.S. Open Major Championship next week. at Oakmont. Looking forward to that show with Sammy, breaking that down one as well. Also, if you missed it, Sovereignty at the Belmont Stakes, 157th running of the Belmont Stakes there. And Sammy, hit the people with the parlay calculator there.
I'm plugging in. I'm looking for the plus 2.5 games right now. The Rom and Edmonton is 10-1 by itself.
10-1. Add in a minus 110. What are you looking at? 25?
Series spread. Here we go. Pacers. Sorry, this is on the fly.
He's doing the math. He's carrying the one. He's got the divide. 23. I was pretty close. Didn't I say 25 there, Joe?
Yeah.
I earned my statistics VCU degree up there in the Virginia area. Sammy, where the patrons find you to check your math on that parlay and figure out how the heck you're belting all these bets there? Where can all the patrons find you?
Yeah, on X at Sammy Avbets, at Sammy Avbets, SammyAvbets, and then on www.thebetterclubhouse.com.
Love it, Sammy. We'll check in next week and make sure that Rory McIlroy doesn't win the RBC Canadian Open there.
There we go.
Let all the patrons know that you've been listening to the Better Clubhouse, a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast live from the 19th hole, not 14th. We actually have to play all 18 and then an extra down here. The 19th hole Clubhouse Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For Sammy Sharps, Joe Geiger on the controls there, RadioSt.Pete.com, Gerard Bordeaux, and the mastermind. Shout out to the man behind with the plan there, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, Iowa legend himself, Mike Rickard. Thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.